Morning, 3CO.
Morning, Chad.
Like a boss. So for those of you that were here last week, what an awesome message we received from Taryn. I was extremely inspired by it, but it also sent me into a slight panic because as he put up that first verse, Romans 8, 14, verse 16, I leaned over to Candace and I said, that's the verse that I'm preaching on. So I was listening. I was like, Taryn, this is amazing, but please don't say anything that I've prepared to say, right? But I think that's good. I think sometimes God just wants us to slow down and instead of jumping from one thing to the next, just spend some time in what he's sharing with us, just so we can get stuck in and process and let it really sink in. So let's open to Romans 8, 14, verse 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And today I want to talk about three things: relationship, grace, and adoption, and how through those three things we allow God to take in his rightful place as our Father. We take in our rightful place as sons and daughters, and we experience his full grace in our life. And I want to share a bit of my story with you and my past of the relationship I've walked with God and the grace I've experienced and my adoption into sonship. Now, they say to really hit home with, let's say this. Let's start with my past. For the past 16 years, outside of being involved with the church, I've helped people improve their quality of life through fitness training, nutrition, rest, recovery, stress management, and all of that. And they say to really emphasize a point in a story, we have to make personal connections. We have to use vicarious experiences, testimonials, or the success stories of others. So I want to tell you about one of my biggest success stories to date. And I want you to enjoy the sheer shock on her face as I ask Lynette Emery to stand up really quick. Where's Lynette? See, I wasn't going to put her on the spot, but Lynette knows how much I dislike Crocs. And yesterday she rocked up at my house and she gifted both my daughters a pair of Crocs, which they love. So here we are. No, stay standing. Stay standing. So for those of you that don't know Lynette Emery, she's an amazing human being. She's a very close friend to ours. She's one of the most giving people that we know. She's an amazing mother to two awesome boys, Logan and Jaden. She's an amazing wife to Kevin sitting next to her. And she's an extremely successful businesswoman. And a few years ago, she approached me to help her with fitness training. And she said she had a goal that she wanted to run her first 5K. And there's really nothing bad we can say about her except that she owns a pair of Crocs, right? And I just have to say this, because of her busy schedule, we had to really tailor a program to her needs. We had to get up at 3 a.m., go over to her house and train. And never has anybody ever got injured or died on my watch. But that first day of training, there was more prayer than coaching going on, right? And I also didn't enjoy the 3 a.m. wake-ups. Like, I was rebuking my alarm more than the devil in those couple of months. But we did it together. Right? There's something powerful in showing up for somebody when they're going through something tough and sharing that shoulder to shoulder. And over time, Lynette changed, not because of what we did, but how we did it. We did it together. I didn't just send her a workout and say, hey, there it is, wake up at 3 a.m., do the workout, let me know how it goes, I'll check in with you on a later stage. I got up with her and I was there because I've been through similar situations. And people have been there for me during those times. And I've stumbled when I've tried to take on something on my own. And I know the power of doing something together. And through walking together, we were able to find and unlock the potential that was already inside of her. And we were able to bring it to light. And her transformation wasn't a result of an individual effort on my side or her side. It was a team effort. Both of us got up early. Both of us sacrificed time. And we walked the road together. And look what we achieved. How's that? Not only, yes, you can sit. Not only did she run her first 5Ks, if you know her now, she's running half marathons and marathons. She's training for the Tin Man, eventually Ironman. She does boxing, jiu-jitsu, CrossFit. She's part of a running club. She does mountain biking. She's unstoppable. That's amazing, right? I'm not trying to advertise my services, but if you look on the floor under your chair, you'll find my business card. So what made the difference wasn't just the training, it was the togetherness. It was the relationship we had during that time. And just like that, with any transformation in life, that doesn't happen in isolation, at least not any transformation that's worthwhile or life-changing. And I read a great quote that says, isolation often breeds destruction, but relationship breeds transformation. And that's what Romans 8 is saying about the Holy Spirit. God didn't just save you and give you a plan to check in with you every once and again. He saved you to walk with you and to guide you and to adopt you. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We are led, we have received, and we are adopted. We are not alone. In John 14:16, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. This is Jesus speaking as a part of his farewell to his disciples before his crucifixion. And the Greek word for helper there is parakletos or parakletos. And para means alongside or beside, and kletos is called or summoned. So parakletos, helper, literally means one called alongside. This refers to the Holy Spirit, translated as comforter, counselor, advocate, or helper, who comes alongside us to guide us and strengthen us and to walk with us forever, to dwell with us. Relationship with the Holy Spirit is the engine of transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all are being transformed in his image by the Spirit. Real growth comes from walking with the Spirit, not just obeying rules. If we remember Romans 8:2, it says, we were set free from the law of sin and death. So it's not about the law, it's about the relationship. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So you can be led by guilt, shame, perfectionism, fear, or hustle. But if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you're a son and you're a daughter, and you're in an unbreakable relationship. And the sooner we realize that, we allow God to take in his rightful place as our Father, we take in our rightful place as his sons and daughters, and we experience his glory and his love. And that got me thinking about relationships in this church. I think even in our small groups, we can isolate each other, ourselves, every now and again. We come to church, some of us 5, 10, 15 years in this church. We come with our group of 4 or 5 people. We come in, we greet the 4 or 5 that we know, we sit for the service, and then we go home. And the other 2,900, we just live past. Yeah. Such opportunities for relationship and for God to move, right? You take two strangers, one from Cape Town, one from Pretoria. You sit them walking across the street from each other in New Zealand, both wearing Springbok jerseys. They see each other and they're like, hey. And they click and they have an instant relationship because they are part of the same team. We are part of the same team, right? We mustn't miss out on these opportunities. You over there with the red shirt, can you stand for me really quick? And then, Dirk, do you guys know each other? Never met. Okay. So after the service, you take your group that you come with, you take your group that you've come with, you go have a cup of coffee, I'll buy your coffees. And never know, maybe you have a common interest, maybe you know someone who knows someone that knows each other, maybe you end up praying for each other, and God starts to work. That's it. You don't have to do that, but everybody's going to be watching you now, I guess. All right, so that was the past 16 years where I've been involved in the fitness industry. If we take a step back and we look at my past before that, this is where things get a little bit interesting. I have 2 certificates, each representing big moments in my life, and God used both of those certificates to get me to where I am today. One certificate is the type that hangs proudly in a living room. It's framed, it's got the gold trimmings on, and when people walk into your house and they see it, they go, oh, wow, that's amazing. But the other certificate, that one is for a drawer, a very deep drawer. that gets stored in the darkest place of your house. The first certificate is this one. That is my LLB law degree. And when people hear that I have a law degree, they're always very impressed. Oh, wow, you have a law degree. Not that because it's a law degree, just because it's me. You have a law degree. So they're impressed with that. But what people don't realize is that the degree teaches me how to interpret the law, but not how to escape condemnation. The law tells you when you are guilty, but cannot save you from guilt. And the courtroom of heaven doesn't care how many distinctions you graduated with. It just cares about, are you a son or are you a stranger? And God doesn't graduate sons and daughters. He adopts them. You don't need a qualification. You can know every theological doctrine, quote all the scripture, but still miss the Father's voice. By the way, have you ever seen a lawyer try to pray? We always quote President. Dear Lord, in the matter between Peter versus denial. God doesn't need a legal argument. He wants a child who cries out, Abba, Father. I can see on everyone's faces you're thinking the same thing. Okay, get on with it. What's the other certificate? But before I tell you about that one, we just have to get one thing straight. There are some things in my life that I'm not proud of, but I don't care what you think because only God can judge me, right? Not proud, don't care, only God can judge. So the other certificate is this one. That is a certificate of completion for an alcohol safety school I had to attend when I got arrested for drunk driving. Didn't walk on stage for this one. There was no cap and gown, no ceremony, no photos, just a walk of shame. And I'll save you the mystery. I'll give you the short version of how that happened. I was at a friend's house one afternoon, and we were being lazy and useless, enjoying way too many adult beverages. And about 11:30 that night, we get a call from his brother saying, hey, the clubs are pumping. We have to get through there. So we jump in my car, go down the streets, and there's a quiet street in Hatfield, very quiet, no cars on the road. So I decide to skip a red robot. And out of nowhere, blue and red lights behind me. So being the model citizen that I am, I put my car into second gear and I try and race away. Didn't get very far, went straight past Brooklyn Police Station, and I get caught, I get arrested, I get sent to community court, I get that which I had to attend in 3 hours of community service. Right? Not proud, don't care, only God can judge. So this one doesn't hang on my wall, it's stuffed in a drawer, but it taught me something that a classroom never could, and that's that I need grace. People love the law degree. They post about it. They share it on social media. They frame it. They celebrate it. But the alcohol safety certificate, that's not for sharing on Instagram or social media. That's for the shadows. The one gets you applause. The other one gets you stares and whispers. But both of them tell my story.
Beautiful.
One says I studied justice. The other one said I survived judgment. One says I know the law. The other proves that I needed grace. Romans 8 opens with, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, God doesn't frame what the world frames. He redeems what the world hides. Don't get me wrong, I'm proud of my degree. I worked hard for it. But that one, that's the one I bled for. That one cost me. Humiliation, fines, fear, a good chunk of pride. But guess which one made me depend on Jesus more? God took the thing I wanted to forget, and he used it to teach me who I am. What story does your past tell? What certificate defines you? And are you allowing the Spirit to rewrite it? So which certificate tells the truth about me, law or grace? After my arrest, I went to community court, got given the alcohol safety school, 300 hours community service, and you would have think I learned my lesson, right? Hey, let's maybe make a change, but no. During my 300 hours of community service, I still kept partying, I still went out. I even skipped some of my community service sessions. day before I had to go back to court, I even paid off my parole officer just to sign off on it. Not proud, don't care, only God can judge. I continued this behavior because even though I received my punishment, the law couldn't change me. Romans 8, 3 verse 4 says, because the law was powerless, so God did what the law could not do. Eventually, I stopped partying, not because I feared punishment, because I experienced grace. Fear changes your behavior, but grace changes your desires. So as somebody who studied law, here's what I know. Law can judge, but it cannot save. Law can declare guilt, but it cannot declare grace. And that's why God stepped in with something greater, not just legal justice, but divine mercy. Because at that moment that I messed up, that's also the moment that I woke up. And I realized I had to change. And I wanted to transform this desire I had to get to know God into real life application. I wanted to start living it out. And this is where God's grace and mercy started working in me. See, around this time where that happened, I pretty much dropped out of university. I went to Tux for about 3-4 years. I changed my degree every single year because I didn't know what I wanted to study or do with my life. I started skipping classes. I started skipping exams. I went on partying. And then this happens, right? Say it with me. Not proud. Don't care. Only God can judge me. So I decided to get my life straight eventually. And during that time, a friend of mine organized a job at a law firm, basically as a glorified messenger, just to earn some cash. And while I was working there, I really enjoy history. I noticed that there's a lot of history in law, and that sparked my interest. So I thought, I've pretty much studied everything else. Why not give law a go? You know. So I registered for law through UNISA, got into my studies. Eventually, I went on to bigger and better firms. I did my articles. I went to law school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So at the time of this DUI, not only was I spiritually lost, but my health also took a toll. So then, at one point in my life, God sent this thing across my path called CrossFit. And if you don't like CrossFit, that's okay. Just means you don't understand it. I'll be happy to educate if you are willing to receive. But I developed a passion for this to where I eventually walked into my boss's office in the law firm and I said, hey, I'm going to just leave law and I'm going to open a CrossFit gym. And with a smile, I believe this is God's grace, he said to me, I saw this coming. Go and do it. And if it doesn't work out, your office will be waiting for you if you want to come back. So with no business experience whatsoever, I started a gym. 2 years later, this beautiful lady walked through the doors and something inside of me knew that she was the one. 2 years after that, we got married. And 10 years later, through an amazing and ever-growing relationship with the Holy Spirit, we are now surrounded by this great community God has put us in. So I went from there to here. And if that's not God's grace, I don't know what is. That's not the original, but I held on to that certificate for years and years and years. I only recently got rid of it, and I never understood why I wanted to hold on to this. But today I know why. It's to tell you that I know some of us are still carrying certificates of shame.
Sure.
We walk into rooms feeling like people can see our alcohol safety certificates. Maybe yours is divorce, abortion, bankruptcy, addiction, but God doesn't leave us in shame. He uses it. What I've realized is that my alcohol safety school certificate does not disqualify my law degree. Actually, it qualifies my calling. Your worst moment does not disqualify your adoption. It can lead you to it. And I believe because of that certificate, God gave me a gift. And that is that I can talk and connect with any person from any background with any judgment. Ask my wife. I can sit around a table with anybody without judging. Saved, unsaved, goth, punk, gay, straight, married, divorced, black, white, someone that went to boys' eye. Yan mala afi altijd afi. But jokes aside, I can do that because I know what it feels like to be judged on mistakes. And I never, ever want to put that onto somebody else because that might be the very thing that keeps them from experiencing God's grace or that keeps them from starting a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Your past certificate of shame, it's not your prison anymore. It's your platform. The Spirit leads you into identity. You are not saved by regret. You are saved by relationship. I can stand here not just because I understand law, but I've experienced grace. Not just because I passed exams, but because I survived mistakes. And Jesus didn't die for my law degree. He died for the certificate I wanted to hide. He didn't save the polished version of me. He saved the broken, ashamed, red-eye version of me sitting in the back of the courtroom thinking, what have I done? What certificate are you hiding? What moment of shame are you afraid people will discover? Because God already knows and he's not embarrassed. He's ready to use it. One day I'll stand before God and I'll lay down these two certificates and he won't care. He won't ask, let me see your law degree. He's going to look for the sign that says, the sign of the Spirit that says, this one is mine. He won't say, well done, graduates of law. He's going to say, well done, graduate. Well done, my son, graduate of grace. And Romans 8 doesn't just say we are free. We are not just forgiven. We are family, and therefore there is no condemnation. It says we are adopted. We are adopted, not abandoned. And that adoption language is intimate. It speaks of belonging. Galatians 4 verse 6 says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out Abba Father. And yet some of us live like spiritual orphans. Because we think if we don't pray hard enough, we don't fast long enough, or we don't serve hard enough that we are disqualified. But your identity isn't tied to your performance. It's secured in your adoption. So tear up that certificate of shame and let the Holy Spirit hand you your adoption papers. John 1 verse 2 says, to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. We don't apply to be God's children. We're adopted by the Spirit. It's not based on performance or distinctions or merit. It's based on grace. Our two daughters, Mackenzie and Harper, they did nothing to become our daughters. They didn't have to perform. They didn't have to qualify or write tests or exams. They are our daughters. But nothing will ever disqualify them from being our daughters or being loved by us. Nothing. And that's the same with us and God. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Remember that term, co-heirs. We are led. There's a relationship. We have received. That's grace. And we are God's children. We are adopted. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Jonah 2 verse 1 says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed. So sometimes you meet God in the belly of your bad decisions, like I did. I walked into that alcohol safety class with my head down, but I came out of that situation with a heart open situation. Ooh. But with a heart open to the reality that I am not my past. I found a lot of confirmation in preparing for today's message. A couple of weeks ago, Rory had this beautiful illustration where he brought James up and Clint and Rob, and he walked down this aisle with them. And that walking together, that was the confirmation of relationship. Then Andy came and he preached to us, and he told us about his journey to America. They've never been there, but God gifted them a car and a job and a community to slot into with their church, and that's God's grace. And then, as I was preparing for this 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got gifted a book anonymously by a couple in this church. Now, if you know anything about me, I really love reading. So this is a very special gift. Anonymous, just like to thank Johan and Yvonne. And as I was preparing, it's a daily devotional, I opened up and this was the message. It said, God doesn't desire your perfection. He desires your humility. Your invitation to know him isn't predicated on your work. It's predicated on his. You don't have to wait to approach God until you clean up your life, master obedience, or memorize enough scripture. Those aren't God's terms. God's terms say that his son was enough. You can come now through the blood and the finished work of Jesus. Come through his death. Come through his burial. Come through his resurrection and find the gift of eternal life and a relationship with the Almighty God. And then down there it says, navigating the shame of your past and the guilt of your present can be a long road, but you do not need to walk that road alone. Come to him and let him show you mercy. And then this morning, I opened on today's devotional. And it wasn't today's date, but the opposite page caught my eye. And it says, co-heirs of Christ. And it says, if you are feeling lonely or like you don't belong where you're at, rest assured that God sent his son so that you can have life and belong to a new family, that you could become a child in his kingdom, fully adopted, fully new, fully alive in him. How do you become part of the family of God? You must simply confess that you have fallen short of God's best and accept the forgiveness the Father offers through the cross. When you do, the Spirit of God enters you and everything begins to shift in accordance with his perfect love. This new birth firmly grafts you into God's family tree as a child and as a co-heir with Jesus. Let that new reality settle into your soul today. God offers you a place in a new spiritual family. He invites you to call on him as your Father. A father who overflows in his love for you, one who hangs on your every word, one who delights to meet your every need. So even as you faithfully wait and pray that God would restore relationships here on earth, trust that you already belong in the family of God. If you need confirmation today, then this is it. If you're sitting in shame with a certificate like that, and those feelings of shame are accusing you like an inner courtroom, then hear this, the Spirit is crying out in you, Abba, Father. The Spirit inside you is speaking a deeper truth. You are God's child, fully accepted and fully loved. The Spirit overrides your inner courtroom of accusation with a testimony of adoption. And all you have to do is receive it.
Beautiful,
Chad. Thank you. Brilliant.